Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 366, recorded on March 31st, 2019. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. This episode is sponsored by SimpliSafe at simplisafe.com/tios. I am Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from Smile. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing awesome, and I really do love hearing your voice, so
yeah,
this is cool.
It's been a minute, right? We didn't have you on the last couple of shows.
But it feels like an eternity.
Yeah, so we're glad to have you back, and Adam Christensen's also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
Hey, Jeff and I are finally on at the same time.
All right.
It's been months.
It feels like it. I'm doing awesome. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Cool.
So there's a lot to talk about, guys, because Apple dumped a bunch of stuff, and then they had an episode where
an episode.
Yeah, they had their own episode of the Apple show. They had an event where they dumped a bunch of more stuff, and so the first thing they announced, the fifth generation iPad mini, which is looking pretty good, honestly. So it's got first gen Apple Pencil support. It's got a revamped Retina display with True Tone, and it's 25% brighter. It's got the A12 Bionic, better cameras. It does not have smart keyboard capability, but it is $400.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of excited about that iPad mini.
It's a good mini. It's a good little boy.
Yep, a lot of people are very, very happy. Mini fans rejoice.
Yeah, the battery in my iPad Mini 4, it just isn't what it used to be. And seeing this new iPad Mini come out, it makes me very happy.
Yeah, I'm not an iPad Mini person, but I can totally get where people are super excited about this.
So do you think that...
I thought it was dead. I mean, I honestly think I said on the show I thought Apple was done with it.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see them give it a little love, because it is very... It has a very robust community that really are fans of that model.
I'm surprised at the Apple Pencil support.
No, that's great.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
It seems like a small device for that. I'm sure.
As a little like notepad or something like that. I think on a device like that, it's more about the note taking kind of.
I agree.
Capabilities, I think, than the pure drawing.
Sure.
Capabilities.
Sure,
but I'm sure some people will sketch on it, but I have a feeling in that form factor, that's like nice for like, if you're a lawyer and you're taking legal notes or you're
right.
You know,
there are certain contexts where that does work for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of verticals, I think, where that makes sense.
Yeah, for me, taking notes on it, it would have been tough. But yeah, there are a lot of contexts, depending on how you take notes, really.
Any place where you would need to stand and like hold a notepad in one hand and then take notes.
Yeah.
That would be the kind of application.
And then it's also, did it have split screen support before?
No,
I don't think so. No,
it does now.
So it'd be great for like claims adjusters, like insurance people, cause they have like dedicated apps often for doing like intake of incidents and stuff like that.
Okay.
That's because really
nice camera on there. Right. So as a unit to like, you can take pictures, you can add notes, you can like do little drawings.
Yep. Lots of good stuff. They also launched a new 10.5-inch iPad Air.
That thing's nice, too.
Which is kind of crazy. So it's replacing the 10.5-inch iPad Pro. The iPad Pro is dead. Or the 10.5, rather, is dead. Mm-hmm. So really, you can look at it as it's, you know, effectively the iPad Pro, the 10.5-inch, a price reduction from $649 to $499 in most ways. So you've got it's 10.5 inches, A12 Bionic, It's got first gen Apple Pencil support. It only has two speakers, doesn't have ProMotion, has a lower end camera without flash, but that also means it doesn't have the camera bump. So that's nice.
This whole change up totally makes sense.
Yeah. Except for the naming. Yeah. The naming is kind of weird.
The naming totally matches. What they've done is they've done what I've been saying should happen for a long time. They're getting their naming conventions aligned. It matches up with the Mac product line. So next they need to do it with the iPhone line. But they've also cleared up the confusion in the iPad Pro line. So now you have iPad Pro, which has the Smart Keyboard and Apple Pencil 2, and then you have the iPad Air, the iPad and iPad Mini, which all have Apple Pencil 1 support, and they're hitting multiple price points and presumably multiple audiences, and it makes sense, and I think it's going to be a lot easier for people to figure out what iPad they actually want.
It's just kind of, it's weird to me because I feel like classically the MacBook Air was the like lower end for the sake of thinness and portability. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it was kind of MacBook Air, then MacBook Pro in my mind. Is that how
you got it backwards?
Really?
Yeah.
It goes MacBook Air.
Well, I know MacBook now. Pro. I know now that's how it is, but I feel like before it was kind of the other way around. But maybe I'm wrong.
For a while there was enough overlap that you could do that.
Okay.
But I don't think that's how
it was never intended that way. Okay. So I was confused. And I talk about this constantly.
I kind of think of the Air models as like Pro Lite.
Right. Yes. No, I totally see that. I totally see that. I don't know. It's just fine. It is all aligned. Like you said, that is how it is now with the Mac lineup or at least the portable Mac lineup and the iPad lineup. So that's good. They also announced new AirPods with the H1 chip. You got Ola Siri support, 50% more phone talk time, and the optional wireless charging case.
Is anybody tempted to upgrade?
No. I mean, slightly.
Yes, but I'm not upgrading right now.
Yeah, no. I wanted a bigger upgrade, for sure.
I'm not sure what else they would have done with this upgrade. Although I know I was speculating at one point that they would add in more health sensors.
Right.
Right.
But that was a rumor for a while too.
Yeah, but seeing what they came out with, okay, that tells me they're not trying to jam too much in too quickly.
Well, yeah. So what do they need to do? It's like the most popular wireless earbuds ever.
Yeah. Well, there were two things that people really wanted. And they got that. They can wireless say, charge. Hey, S-Lady.
Yeah.
And they can do wireless charging.
And it's supposed to be a little bit more reliable, right? The chip's supposed to be more reliable and faster at switching between devices and stuff like that. So there's some nice things in here. Here's the dilemma that I'm in is I have a set of the originals that are getting 2 years plus on with the batteries, and the batteries totally suck. Like, I am lucky if I can get an hour of talk time out of them.
Interesting.
To be honest,
if my batteries were in the place that yours are, excuse me, I would get the new AirPods.
Well, do I do that, or do I just have the batteries replaced in mine because it's $49 a unit, so I can pay $100 and just have brand new batteries in my existing ones, or otherwise it's going to cost me at least up $160. And if I'm going to spend $160, I'm going to spend $200 because I'm going to get the wireless charging case. Like, why wouldn't you?
Well, then, wait, Adam, also consider the fact that
you could do new batteries and buy a wireless charging case.
Then
you're still under your $200.
By like $10, right? Oh, by the $200, sure.
By about
$40? But then you're close and you're not getting the new H1 chip, you're not getting OLED Siri, and you're not getting the,
So at that
like
point,
if I'm going to spend that much, then I think it makes sense to upgrade. So I'm in this weird position because it's like, I don't know if I can justify the premium. You know, is it worth $100 to get the H1 chip and OLED Siri?
And more battery. It's really up to more battery. Yeah.
Well, yeah, more battery talk time. So it might be like, that's just the thing. Like, I'm in this debate. Like, do I spend $100 and just refresh the ones that I have, or do I spend $200?
How much did you say each pod is to replace?
It's $49 per AirPod to do the battery. What's interesting, though, is a bunch of people have told me they've gone in to get the battery upgrade, and the Apple has told them it's $69 and just given them a new AirPod, and I'm not sure how they're justifying that.
Which is the cost of replacing an AirPod.
Right. They're just replacing the AirPods. They're not like doing the battery.
I mean, that's what's happening regardless. Huh. Right. They're not actually doing any. They're just taking your old one and giving you a new one.
Well, that's just the thing. I would think that's what would happen regardless. But if you look at Apple's support website, there are two price points. There's the it costs $69 to replace an AirPod, or there's a $49 battery upgrade. But what I've been heard from many people in my community is they go in to get the batteries done and they're like, oh no, this AirPod's broken. You need to pay for a new one. And there's this general feeling that Apple won't replace the batteries in them, that they're just upcharging people to replace the whole unit.
So it might be that their AirPods are out of warranty. $49 in warranty, $69 out of warranty.
Oh, mine are definitely out of warranty.
Well,
so then that solves my problem right there. I'm just buying new AirPods. Like, I'm not going to pay $140 when I can pay $159 and just get new ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why wouldn't I pay $16 more or $19 more and get brand new ones with new chips and new features?
Right.
Oh, so... You know, so there you go. So that's the thing, is Apple has just basically said AirPods are disposable. They're only going to last 2 years, and you just need to buy new ones every 2 years.
Now, if you look at this,
which from an environmental standpoint is
it's really crappy.
Garbage.
It's really crappy. Now, okay, so I think you have to read the print below this table, Jeff.
Okay,
is based on the way I'm interpreting this. If you lost an AirPod or you damaged it, that is the out of warranty fee. So that's the how much does it cost to repair or
that's
replace?
That's what I thought.
I assumed it was timing.
And then it says the limited warranty covers a defective battery, but it doesn't cover wear from normal use. If your battery has a manufacturing defect, it's covered by our warranty. We'll service it at no cost. If your battery service isn't covered, we can replace your battery for a fee. So I think it should be $50.
Is the battery service fee?
It says, battery service fee is $49, and it doesn't. It's definitely unclear, at least from this table. So that's kind of annoying. So
again, and the experience I've been hearing from most people is they're quoting people $69, even when they're saying it's just my battery.
And But then, do they have to give their old AirPod to Apple?
Correct. Yes.
That's BS, because that's the same charge as it would be if you lost it. I would say, okay, I just lost it and put it in my back pocket and say, give me a new AirPod.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So anyway,
I guess there is also the question of how good is the battery in my charging case?
And yeah, exactly.
On that,
yeah. So if you're, if you have, crappy batteries in your pods, the wireless charging case, the life on that, I would say that the depletion of the battery in the wireless charging case is probably less, just given that the depth of discharge on that
Correct.
Is probably a lot less.
Yeah, that seems to be fine, but like I don't put that through its paces, to be honest. The AirPods themselves are going through their paces every day because I'm using them every day all the time. Mm. So
do you run them?
More
do you run them down?
They seem to charge up fine, but I don't know. Am I getting a full charge on my battery case? I don't know.
Do you run your AirPods down before you charge them?
Oh yeah.
Really? Wow. Okay. Yeah. So I don't do that a lot.
Yeah, I know how this is going to play out for me. My left ear pod is going, battery is going to wear out because it doesn't get used enough, and the right AirPod is going to wear out because I use it all the time.
Interesting.
If I'm driving, I only have one in.
Right.
And if I'm just talking, like if I'm in my office and I'm just talking, I only have one in.
Yeah. But I am now, after talking to you guys and thinking about this a little bit more, I am leaning toward it's probably better just to replace, just to buy new ones.
Yeah.
I'm thinking so.
And sell your old ones, throw them on eBay. You'll come out ahead that way.
Even with bad batteries?
I mean, how bad are they? Do you get 2 hours out of them?
Regular, like movie watching time, yeah, at least. But like for talk time, again, like if I get an hour out of the talk time,
well, an hour talk time is that's how it is, though. Honestly, the talk time on the AirPods is not great because you have to do transmit and receive constantly, and the transmit power
is supposed to be 2 hours, right?
Is it
Apple? Because I think the new ones are 3.
That sounds right. But still, yeah. I mean, 50% in transmit mode, that's pretty good. And if it's, I think you're, sell it on eBay. You'll get some money. You'll get at least 50% of what you paid for it. I think you'll do okay. Do that. But the more fun thing to talk about since is Apple has officially canceled AirPower, in spite of the fact that the new AirPods even have, not only do they have mention of AirPower in text on the side of the box,
they have a picture of AirPower on the back of it.
Yeah, they have a picture of it. Whoopsie.
I guess that's a Nomad or something else.
It's illustrative of just a generic charging pad.
Even though it's oval.
Even though it's exactly the shape of theirs.
Even though it literally says Air Power on the side of the box.
It does?
Yeah.
I have a hypothesis on that being there.
Yes, please.
Okay. And this comes from some people saying that when they've done their serial number lookups for their AirPod 2s that they just got, they're seeing that they're manufactured in September.
Oh, wow.
So I'm thinking that Apple started manufacturing AirPods and thought, okay, we will have AirPower done in time so we can do a fall rollout for both. AirPower didn't happen because it kept getting delayed, so they kept holding onto the AirPods. And then finally, they went ahead and just launched them. And so now it's just fuzzy. When did they decide that they were going to not launch the AirPower?
I think it was like 2 weeks
and
ago.
Just the AirPods?
I think it was 2 weeks ago.
I think it was when they announced the new AirPods. They already knew they weren't going to ship AirPower. And so then they just held that announcement until the Friday afternoon after everything else had happened, because that's when you do the announcements that you want people to forget.
Yeah, that sounds exactly right to me. That lines up. So the issue with AirPower, as far as we can speculate, is Apple really wanted a solution which not only could charge 3 devices at the same time, which I believed would be extremely difficult, but the other thing was they seemed to want a full, I've seen someone saying X and Y freedom of movement of your devices on the pad. I would imagine probably just X-axis freedom, which makes a lot of sense. Perhaps, you know, multiple stops in the Y direction as well. But I've heard they wanted to have, that meant 20 to 30 coils in this one very small space.
Whoa. And that just didn't work.
And they just couldn't get it to work. And so I guess the big issue, and it makes sense with Apple, the big issue with wireless pads is you need to get the alignment pretty spot on. And if you don't have that, then it's just not going to work. And so, of course, the solution with something like, you know, the Apple Watch is there's a magnet in there that aligns it for you. But with the capability of having various devices of varying sizes. And orientations and all that, it meant that you just have to have a crap ton of coils in there so that it basically worked no matter where you put it and no matter how many devices you had on there. And what we've been hearing is that caused a big thermal problem for them in such a small space. And I can imagine it probably was pretty difficult to do just like interference wise as well from all those coils. And so they just couldn't get it to work. Now my thinking is, all right, so why not just have, alignment magnets and just put three coils in there. But I think Apple just realized that that's not what they wanted to do. I think they wanted to push wireless charging ahead and just have something that was like, I mean, obviously something like that, where you could just put your device down anywhere on the pad and it just worked. It's a very Apple notion for wireless charging. Uh-huh. And it would have been great and magical.
That's how it should be.
It would have been more magical than any other wireless charging pad that you could get, but they just couldn't do it.
Couldn't pull it off.
Yeah.
The laws of physics just, they couldn't, I have to wonder, does that mean only Steve Jobs can will things into existence? And now that he's gone, Apple's lost that ability.
They're no longer malleable.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They lost their wizard.
So, you know,
just, do magic and say, oh, yeah, this will exist.
And it turns out this time, no, it won't. I've had people giving me a hard time ever since I got the thing from Nomad, base station Apple Watch edition.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called. And I feel totally vindicated now.
Of course.
It looks nicer than what Apple was making. It works really well. Yes, I have the limitation of if I don't put my iPhone in the right places, then it's probably not going to charge. But I can lay it across the pad, or I can turn it 90 degrees, and there's a couple places I can set it on the pad and still use it. And if I get the AirPods recharging case or new AirPods, I can charge those at the same time.
But the Nomad one only does two devices at once, right?
No, it'll do three devices. Well, okay. Three devices meaning your Apple Watch in the, because it has the Apple Watch charger puck set up at an angle so that your watch can be a bedside clock.
And it has its own puck, right?
Yeah, it has its own puck.
Okay.
Which I thought was great. And then it has coils so you can charge two more devices at the same time. And because of where the coils are positioned, you can put AirPods and an iPhone, say, side by side. Or if you don't have the AirPods case, excuse me, rotate your phone 90 degrees and just lay it completely across the pad.
Right.
But there, okay, so I think the confusion came from the fact that it shows that there are three induction coils on the pad, and I think that really only serves
two on the pad and one on the
Yeah, I think that the purpose of the three is that the middle one kind of acts as the, if you want to put the phone horizontally.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's great. You can do your AirPods, your watch, and your phone. And I love that it does nightstand mode. Yeah, that's dope. I'm gonna get
the only bummer is you can't get one.
Yeah.
What a surprise! They're sold out.
They're extremely.
They've been backordered for forever.
Yeah, I'm looking at the page now.
Backorder 2 open. There's a second. So, there's a second. Tier
they're calling it backorder 1 and backorder 2. So if you're in the back order one batch, yours will ship on April 30th. If you're in the back order two batch, that's May 15th.
That's
what a
incredible.
Great problem
that's
for Nomad
incredible.
To have.
Good for Nomad. Yeah, so it's $140. All right.
This
yeah.
is my past, as I recall.
What's that?
I think this was my pick.
It was, It was.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
I won't pick it today.
So it's, I mean, but it's, the point is it's not quite the same as as air power.
Yeah.
It's not, but it looks really good.
Mm-hmm. And it has the same ultimate functionality.
And you can actually get it, even though you have to wait a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let's. All right, we got to talk about. We have the big event to talk about, but first we got to talk about our sponsor. So we'll be right back after that. All right, our sponsor this week is Simply Safe. Alarm, the willies, the heebie-jeebies, panic. There are dozens of words for fear, but just one for an exceptional home security company to stop fear at your door. Simply Safe. Simply Safe is home security that knows it feels good to fear less. This is award-winning 24/7 protection that protects your home through it all, through blizzards, blackouts, and burglars. Simply Safe has won awards from all the tech experts that count. The Verge calls it the best home security. It's won Reader's Choice from PC Magazine. It's a 2-time winner of CNET Editor's Choice and a Wirecutter top pick. Simply Safe has no contract, no hidden fees, and no gotchas. And they always keep prices fair and honest. Thanks to Simply Safe, fear has no place in a place like home. Try Simply Safe with free shipping and free returns. You'll get a 60-day risk-free trial too. Order now and have your home protected in less than a week. Go to simplysafe.com/tios to get started today. That's simplysafe.com/tios. Be sure to go there so they know we sent you. simplysafe.com/tios. Okay, so Apple had their big event. What was it called? Showtime?
It's Showtime.
It's Showtime. And they had a lot of interesting stuff. I don't remember the order, but I'm just going to go in the order that I have here. Apple Card.
Nope, that was second.
Yeah, all right. So you want to talk about Apple News because it's weak sauce first?
That's what they led with.
Okay, because it's weak sauce.
Because weak sauce.
Yeah.
For some people, it's actually... I think a good deal.
Honestly, yeah, I don't think it's necessarily a week. So it's just something that I'm not super interested in. So Apple News Plus.
I don't know. I might agree with you, Michael. I'm on the trial, and so far I've remained unimpressed.
Unimpressed. All right.
So. Okay. Well, on paper, it looks like for certain people, this could be a cool thing.
Yeah. So
in Apple's reality distortion field, you know, the person to ask about this would be John Martellaro.
Oh, yeah. Is he a big magazine
guy?
Oh, yeah.
He's Mr. Magazine Man.
Okay. Yeah. So Apple News Plus effectively is a magazine subscription within Apple News. Gives you access to over 300 magazines. A lot of them have rich layouts, but a lot of them, as far as I know, are just PDFs.
No,
I would say most of them.
The problem is most of them don't have rich layouts.
Yeah,
so and even the ones that Apple showed off in the keynote, like if you look at like National Geographic, it has like that one article that they showed in the keynote. And then when you start digging into other content, I don't know if that will change. I presume that's going to change over time, but. A big problem I have it with it is on the Mac, if you start bringing up articles, most of the magazines don't even have responsive layouts. They have a phone layout and that's it. So on my 24-inch screen, I get one giant iPhone column of text for the article.
Oh my God.
It's horrible.
Oh, well, good. I would like to think that's because this is essentially beta at this point.
God, right. This is like the theme of this damn event.
Yeah, and I haven't done the checking, but a large portion of those 300 magazines are just PDFs. Like the CNET one, just PDFs.
I don't think that's going to change. We have a precedent for this. You remember Apple's last attempt at magazines?
Mm-hmm.
That took a lot of resources for publications to make those things.
Correct.
And while there were some really cool publications using Apple's magazine format, that it just wasn't something I saw sustainable.
Yeah, for Apple News, you have to do a bunch of custom coding if you want to have, you know, it's web stuff. It's through their developer program. And it's not that hard, but it is extra work.
Yeah, so... This is why I'm expecting that most of the magazines that are in the News Plus service are just going to be just a straight web dump or a PDF.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's just a bummer. Because it could be cool.
Well, maybe, but, you know, honestly,
it's not on Apple. Apple's providing the tools in the marketplace for it. The problem is they're going to have is convincing publishers to actually do anything. And publishers just more care about getting their cut in the cheapest way possible.
Right. I mean, what I could see happening. So there is the capability for the rich content. Mm-hmm. But what I see as a possibility is maybe if Apple News Plus picks up steam and it becomes one of their highest sources of revenue, maybe they'll put more effort into it and actually do it. But then again, I'm thinking, okay, they're going to look at it and say, oh, we're making a bunch of money on this. We'll just keep doing what we're doing because it's making money. You know, mm-hmm. It could go either way, I think. It's interesting. I haven't started my trial yet, but it's $10 a month. You get a 1 month free trial. It also includes, several news sources, including the Wall Street Journal, LA Times, the Toronto Star, and more. How's the LA Times look on it? How's the LA Times and the Wall Street Journal look on it? Is it similar?
Great. With the Wall Street Journal, I'm not sure how it is with the LA Times. The Wall Street Journal, the archive content only goes back 3 days.
Oh, okay.
So if you want anything older than 3 days, you have to go to their subscription service.
That's dumb, I guess. But okay, fine. So yeah, that's Apple News Plus.
So all of the reality distortion stuff was in full effect when it comes to this.
I didn't feel very disturbed.
And I think a lot of people are very excited about this. You know, $10 a month if you're really into news and these sorts of things. I think Jeff's right. There is a certain percentage of people who will find a big value out of this.
Now,
the family subscription people will get more out of it because now the whole family gets all this content at a much lower price.
I thought there was, didn't they have some additional stuff for just the regular news interface where they're going to do some more like personal recommendation for you?
Exclusive content, right?
I wasn't thinking about that. Maybe there is, but I thought there was more personal recommendation stuff going on within Apple News. Or maybe it's just
that there's more content that their curators and the AI can pull from.
Okay, good. Because here's the thing for me. Like, Apple News is great, and I think they said that Apple News is the biggest platform for news right now, or mobile platform perhaps, which, mm-hmm. you know, makes a lot of sense. I like Apple News. It's a great aggregation thing. I just feel like the stuff that's suggested for me is just trash. You know, it's just, okay, so like, I guess trending stories, maybe I should just dislike trending. Oh, I'll block trending stories.
How much have you gone in and customized it? Yeah.
Not a whole lot.
Yeah, customize it and it will, you'll see an improvement.
I just hit block trending stories. I didn't know that was a thing you could do. Maybe that's new here because trending stories is always.
That will make you happy, trust me.
Yeah, because it's garbage. It's always crap.
Well, Apple doesn't control what stories are trending.
No, I totally get that. Yeah.
People like garbage. If you've watched the news or social media, people tend to gravitate toward that stuff.
No, yeah, for sure. I get that. I like this. Under my NASA category, SNL calls out NASA for not having enough women in spacesuits. Okay, I'm just going to set this. I'm going to put this out there. You guys, do you know what happened? Like, in reality?
They, from what I understand.
Oh yeah, I heard that the SS.
They had a sizing issue with spacesuits.
Yeah, it sounds like it was kind of on the astronaut in the end. So they have the right size. So she trained with a medium and a large suit, but like that was on Earth, so she hadn't decided which one she worked with best. They have both on the station. They had the Medium available. In the end, she decided she needed the Medium, but in order to, they're modular. So it was the hard upper torso. It was just, it wasn't set up in time for the spacewalk to happen. So if she had decided earlier on, yeah, I want the Medium, then she could have just, they could have configured it for that. So it wasn't like they didn't have enough suits on the station. It just wasn't, they didn't plan ahead, or she hadn't made her decision on which one she liked better, or she hadn't determined which one she liked better in time for that to happen, which, you know, it's kind of a PR blunder on NASA's part to announce this, like, you know, weeks ahead. And they didn't, if they were going to do that, they should have figured that out a little bit further ahead of time. But this could happen, you know, tomorrow if they wanted it to. They have enough on the station, they just didn't plan it correctly.
Okay. All right. And then when it hit the media, it was distorted into this other thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, NASA needs to treat women equally and make sure we have all the right gear, which is true. Everyone should be treated equally. Yeah. And all the right gear needs to be there for the astronauts who are talking life and death.
Yep.
But it wasn't exactly what the media made it out to be.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
That's awesome.
There you go. So that's your space lesson for today. Apple News Plus. Yeah, so I'm going to keep playing with it. But what I like more is the Apple Card. Apple Card was cool. It was really cool, actually. So the idea is they partnered with, oh God, what was their partner on this?
Goldman Sachs.
Goldman Sachs. They're not, this is the first time they've done a credit card, a consumer thing. So there's,
They don't have a great reputation these days, do they?
Do they?
No, they don't.
Yeah. So they're putting out a digital MasterCard, where the big things are, no fees at all. We don't know about interest rates, but it's going to be, you know, competitive, I believe.
Between 13 and 24.5%.
Yeah.
They're horrible.
Yeah. The interest rates aren't.
That was a giant lie that they were I take it back. It was only the truth in the fact that the best interest rate that they are offering is about 1% less than what the current industry average is. So if you qualify for the very, very best interest rate on the Apple Card, you will have a lower interest rate than the rest of the industry. For everybody else, it's industry standard.
Right.
And Apple made a big deal about that at the event. Like,
really?
We have the best rates in the industry.
Oh, did they?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't catch that.
Oh, yeah. It was on a slide, like. It was like one of the features.
Oh yeah, it does. Apple Card's goal is to provide interest rates that are among the lowest in the industry.
They're not any different. It's a credit card. I said on my podcast, you know, at the end of the day,
it's a credit card. I didn't think, I honestly didn't think, like, oh my God, they're going to make it like no interest or something like that.
The one place where they are 100% accurate and is truly amazing on that card is that there are no fees.
Yeah, there are no fees.
No fees for anything, including like, you know, your interest rate going up for late payment fees, all that stuff is not in it.
And the idea is that I think the biggest thing for Apple Card is that they, it's privacy plus, super, ease of use. So it happens within,
and the rewards are a big deal too.
And the rewards are great too. Yeah. So the ease of use,
talk about the rewards.
Yeah. The ease of use thing first though, it comes, it's within the wallet app. So you got your Apple Card there. You see all of your transactions, in a very like human readable decoded sort of way. So they use like AI plus Apple Maps and whatnot to figure out, you know, actually what the purchases were. You can get nice breakdowns of your spending across categories and time. It looks really good there in order to the like payoff, interface is a nice little like wheel thing. It's similar to the bedtime, UI in the clock app. So it shows you like, okay, so if I decide to pay off this much, it'll be no interest accrued. But if you send it down and say, I'm going to pay less, it'll tell you exactly how much you're going to be paying, in interest for that. which is really cool. You can actually have, instead of just doing, you know, once a month payoff, you can pay off multiple times per month, which is nice. And then you've got the rewards. So the rewards are pretty nice. So it's 2% on anything that you buy through Apple Pay.
Which that's if you're using the touch.
Yeah. So if you use the
tap to pay,
it's 2% on anything, which is great. And then at the Apple Store, so direct from Apple sales are 3% cash back.
Right.
And then if you use the physical card, it's 1% cashback. And the physical card is titanium and dope looking. It's perfectly designed for bougie millennials, and I'm totally hooked on it. It has no credit card number on it at all. There's no CVV, no expiration, none of those numbers are on there. It's just a titanium card that has a little Apple logo and a MasterCard logo.
And you can change your card number anytime you want to.
Yeah, which is great. So you can't get hacked,
right? Like, you don't actually get to know what the physical credit card number is, from what I understand.
It's in the app. They mentioned that all that data is available inside the wallet app.
Yeah, it's in the wallet.
Oh, so okay. I thought they were giving you some alternate number that you used when, like, if you're going to use the card for online purchases.
Is the card number is auto-generated based on, I think, something from the secure chip that's in there. So basically, when you sign up and it adds the card to your wallet, it generates the card number at that point, and that card number stays in the secure enclave. So
okay,
whatever chip they're using for that, it's called something different. What they call it, the secure
element.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was weird.
But the one thing, you're right, you can, like, if you get compromised, if your number somehow gets compromised, it's very easy to generate a new one.
Yep.
And then just like,
well, you can do individual ones for individual retailers, like if you have an Amazon or what have you, and then you can do like one-time use. But you can expire those, like even the ones for Amazon, whenever you need to.
Right.
Yeah. And then so the daily cash thing is really cool. So it's not points. It's like you get your cash back every day.
Right. And that goes to what you were talking about earlier, Jeff. Like, with other credit cards, you know, you're earning that cash back, but they dole it out at the end of the month. So guess what? They're holding on to basically your reward money and making money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with this, the minute you make the purchase, you have that cash available to, or each day you have that cash available to use.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Cool. Are you guys going to get an Apple card?
If nothing else, I'm going to get one for nothing else. I buy a crud ton of stuff through Apple, including like my family plan for Apple Music, my family plan for iCloud storage, which are monthly charges. Why wouldn't I? Because I'm going to get 3% back. So that's a 3% discount basically on all the services that I buy from Apple.
Yep.
And with new services coming on board that I'm probably going to be buying into too, like at the very least, I will get one and just move all of my Apple services and buy all of my Apple stuff on that card.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's better than my standard credit card. I think I get 1% on purchases for Amazon right now. So it goes into like an Amazon gift card.
I'm just sorting through as much as I can. It sounds really cool, and my knee-jerk reaction is I need to get the card. But I thought, okay, if I'm seriously looking at this, then I should do some comparisons. And so I thought, what other company do I spend a lot of money with? Amazon. So I went and looked at the Amazon Prime credit cards. And what I've come up with is, if you are someone that uses Apple Pay everywhere, and you also pay off your credit card in full every month, and you buy a crap ton of Apple product, then the Apple card is probably a good card to use.
And that's totally me.
Yeah. And if you're someone who buys a lot of stuff, still pays off your credit card in a reasonable amount of time, and you use Amazon a lot, then Amazon Prime credit cards are better because you get 5% back for your Amazon purchases, which means that now that you can buy Apple gear on Amazon, you can get more money back by buying the same thing through Amazon as opposed to buying it straight from Apple.
Yeah, but then you got to deal with Amazon shipping.
But then you have to deal with Amazon
pre-order and.
Yep, and you don't have the ability to do the auto credit card number change and stuff like that. But just looking at those numbers, it's
interesting.
If I'm getting a new card, it just became a more difficult choice for me.
Or you just get both. Now I'm thinking we should probably get an Amazon card for our Amazon purchases and an Apple card for all the stuff we buy on Apple. See, because I buy a lot of movies and I rent a lot of movies and we buy iBooks and we buy like apps, lots of app purchases, both on the Mac App Store and the iOS App Store. Like I'm just going through my taxes right now and I can see I've just gone through how much I actually bought on, through Apple this past year. And it's staggering.
Yeah. So that Barclays Apple credit card that you have, you can ditch.
Yeah, I don't have one of those. Do you have one of those?
Yeah. And the only thing I've ever used it for is buying stuff from Apple.
Yeah. But now that you're saying the Amazon, I didn't realize the Amazon one was 5%. It's kind of dumb that I've not been using an Amazon card for that.
Okay, so now here's what I'm thinking. You get the Amazon card, you get the Apple card, you use them for each of those companies.
Right.
So you get your points and cash back, and then pay off both cards with your bank's credit card that also gives you cash back. So you get cash back there for all of those, and then you just pay your bank credit card, and now you just have one payment.
Amazing. Yeah, there's whole groups of people there's like a whole community of people that figure out these rewards programs and stuff like that, especially for like travel stuff. Like that's a big thing. There's like podcasts you can listen to that'll tell you how to like optimize your travel rewards points things and like reverse game the system.
Totally. Yeah, see, I'm looking at my Amazon spending, and I like Apple isn't even on. Apple isn't even on this list of like top merchants that I spend from.
You know, after I've done all this research, I'm realizing I should have gotten an Amazon Visa a while ago,
right?
And never carry it around with me, just.
Just have it saved as your Amazon card.
Yeah. And that, well, and I do shop at Whole Foods. Okay. So I'd put in an Apple Pay and then do my grocery shopping at Whole Foods with it too.
Yep. And then you get 2% on that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So it's a cool interface. Not a great deal.
Well, I think it's not a better deal than any other credit card is kind of the point. And I think, again, if you're buying a lot of stuff through Apple, through iTunes Store, through iBook Store, through iCloud services, through these new services that they're bringing on board, it's kind of a no-brainer because, again, you're going to get basically a 3% discount on all of those services.
Right. But honestly,
you're paying for it anyway.
The UI might make up for it. The interface is very good. The experience of
doing
this.
And the security is really
security,
nice.
The security. Oh yeah. So that we didn't talk about the privacy portion. So Apple knows nothing about what you spend. Nothing. And then, what is it? What's God, I keep forgetting the
Goldman Sachs.
Goldman Sachs will never share or sell any of your spending.
Except when they have the giant data breach.
Sure. But that's,
Yeah.
They'll never actually share or sell it, but
And advertisers won't know, or stores, I should say, won't know what your, they won't be able to identify you from your card because it's, you know, randomly generated every time.
Purchase, yeah.
Yep. So that's great. Yeah, let's move on. So we did Apple Card. We got Apple Arcade.
That's actually what I'm most excited about.
That looks pretty good.
So oddly enough.
It's a subscription game service with at launch in fall 2019. They're saying over 100 titles, which are handpicked by Apple. So the idea is they are reaching out to developers, content creators to make these games, and they're going to be exclusive for Apple Arcade. Apple is assisting when necessary in helping with development or development costs. They're subsidizing some of this stuff. And in order to, I mean, the way that they presented this was, you know, free games are incredibly popular. The freemium ones are kind of awkward, but the best games on the store are the ones that you pay up front for. And I would agree with that, honestly. I think that we've shown over the years in this podcast, the games that we talk about are almost always, you know, you got to pay $5 or $10 for these games, but they're incredible. The experiences are, you know, some of the best that you can find. And they also pointed out the fact that iOS, I believe they said, is the biggest gaming platform. And that makes sense. And so, and I just love the fact that Apple is finally pointing out, you know, this disparity that we have that they kind of were responsible for creating, but they're admitting it now and they want to fix it, where these content creators are having a tough time, you know, making ends meet with these pay for games.
Yeah. And there's a debate though, if this is a solution to that or not really.
Yeah. So
I mean, I don't know that this is a solution to that as much as Apple wants us to believe it is.
Yeah. I think it could be. What's the argument
for some developers?
What's the argument against it? I mean, for the ones that don't get the games played, then.
Right. Right. Cause we don't know. Well, I mean, it's hard to say because we don't know all the details of the agreement. I mean, they're getting some investment. They're getting some upfront money for gaming development. So that's a positive. But if you're not in the, you know, Apple touched you group, then what happens? And we don't know.
Oh, the specifics, you know,
what does it take to get into the program?
Right.
Like there's a lot of unanswered questions, right? What is Apple's revenue cut? How are the sharing agreements working? You know, it could turn out to be a really great thing for, you know, a handful of developers, but you know, you're still going to have the developers that aren't part of this service who are on the regular app store trying to eke out a living too. Like it's not a perfect solution. It is a good solution, I think. And I think it is going to benefit a lot of people, but I think it's too soon to say whether or not it solves a lot of the problems that have been there. It might. It has the potential to, for sure.
Yeah.
But depending on pricing. I don't want to get overly optimistic about it quite yet.
Yeah. So what, they haven't announced a price for this yet. What would you pay? What's the max you'd pay?
Maybe 15, but I'm thinking 10.
I'm guessing it's a $9.99 thing.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. $9.99 is Apple's magic price point on all of these services.
Yeah,
and actually, there's a bigger conversation to have around this when we get to the end. When we get to the end of all of the stuff we're talking about today.
Yeah, I know what that conversation is.
So no, they won't have any existing games, which is interesting. So like I said, it's handpicked by Apple. So you may have to pitch Apple on your game. Yeah, I would imagine you do have
we
to.
We know what, now, what I was most excited about is I now know what happened to Where Cards Fall.
What's that?
Oh, yeah, that's true. You do.
It was this game that was announced by Snowman Games like, what, a couple years ago?
Oh, yeah.
It was like
nothing.
What happened to this game? Because it looked amazing. And it was one of the ones that's shown off the thing. So I think Apple went to them and said, hey, we're working on this thing. You want to be part of it? because these are going to be exclusives. That's the other thing, as Apple announced, these are not going to be available on any other streaming mobile platform.
Right.
Right. And I found that interesting too. They said streaming. So does that mean these developers can still sell the games as standalone, like on Android?
Yeah. So that was my big question was, you know, if you like a game, can you buy it outright to keep? And we don't know.
I'm assuming not.
I'm assuming not also.
That I very much dislike.
Yeah.
But why? I mean, again, if it's like $10 a month, like I was trying to think, like I can probably, again, go back through my purchase history, but I bet you I buy very often $2-$5, you know, games in a month, or at least one. So I'm halfway there. Like I probably spend about $5 to $10 on games a month with Apple anyway.
That's crazy. I don't buy any games. I don't play any games, I guess. It's not that I don't buy them.
Well, and that's just the thing, is I buy them and I like play them a couple times and then I don't follow through with them. So like, to me, that's why I'm kind of excited about something like this, because these are going to supposedly kind of be the cream of the crop, right? They're going to be the ones that I would plunk down $5 or $10 for.
Yeah.
And if I just have them and can access them, like that sounds perfect to me. It's sort of like how I justify Apple Music, because I love a lot of music. I can't afford to buy a lot of it, but if I have, you know, I probably did spend $10 a month on, you know, buying a CD here or there, or CD, like an album here or there, right? Before we had streaming. So like the cost justification sort of makes sense. It's like, here's a library I can just dip into whenever I want. I can play a game. I can check out this cool new title that everybody's talking about. And if I really like it, I continue to play it. If I only play it a couple times, then no big deal, right? It's just one of the other 100 plus games that I have access to. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm feeling like this is what may push me over the edge to buy game controllers for my Apple TV.
Yep.
I love
the other thing. Yeah, the fact that they're all going to be supported on Apple TV.
All platforms are going to be supported. Yeah. As far as we know, there's going to be a big push for MFI controller support in a lot of these games. I think we talked about family sharing is going to be enabled.
And see, that's another thing in my situation, that's huge, right?
For anybody like you in your situation. Let's see here. Can be played offline. So these games can be played offline. You bring it on the plane, no problem. Yeah, it looks great. It's coming in the fall. And it'll be
definitely most excited announcement, which shocked me because I thought I was going to be really excited about the TV video stuff. Service.
But. Yeah. So as far as the TV stuff goes,
oh my God, what a train wreck.
Okay. You know, I didn't get to watch the keynote. I'm just going to do all the research afterwards.
I watched the keynote and I got a couple messages from people that were weird because I forgot that there was a keynote that day. Like I was driving up from Southern California and it slipped my mind. And so I went, I watched the keynote. I was like, oh yeah, this is pretty great. I didn't get any weird vibes. I mean, there were some weird vibes, but it wasn't nearly as crazy as people were.
When they got to the video stuff, you didn't get weird vibes?
Let's just run. We'll roll through it, and we'll get to it as we do. So there's a new TV app coming out in the fall. It's going to be available, obviously, on the Apple TV iOS devices as well as the Mac. So it's coming to the Mac, which thank God I need that. there's a new For You section with recommended TV shows based on what you watch. That's nice. I have been playing with it a bit.
Have you downloaded the beta? I'm probably going to throw the beta on my thing because it looks cool.
It looks really cool. Yeah, so there's a beta out, public beta. So you just turn on the thing and download it. Although it's kind of glitchy.
It is?
It's a little glitchy. I'll see how long I can live with it. However, there's the For You section. Then the other big thing is the Apple TV channels. So it's basically Prime Video style subscriptions within the TV app. So you don't have the app bouncing anymore. As far as we know, we're
which is great.
It's incredible. Yeah, I'm really excited for that. We're expecting to see CBS All Access, Starz, Showtime, HBO, Nickelodeon, History Channel, Vault, Comedy Central now, and
can I ask about HBO?
Okay. Yeah, ask. What?
Because I think they said that HBO was going to be $10 a month, but I think I pay $15 a month for HBO.
Really?
So is there some sort of difference?
I could not tell you.
Maybe I'm not paying $14.99. I thought I was paying $14.99 for HBO Go or whatever it is. But
HBO Now.
Is it Now?
I think it's called HBO Now. That's the a la carte.
Yeah, okay, see, here's a branding issue on HBO's part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I'm trying to figure out how much it costs. So yeah, it's $15.
Yeah, and I thought they said it was going to be $10 for the channel. So it just got me thinking, like, well, man, I'm going to switch to the channel when that becomes available because I'll save $5 a month.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, all of those are not available. They're not all available in the beta yet. HBO is not available yet. There are a couple. I think there's Starz, History Channel, Vault, maybe Showtime. But that's cool. I'm looking forward to not having to bounce. And then here's a weird one. So we knew about the smart TVs, right? Mm-hmm. So the TV app is coming to smart TVs and Roku and Amazon devices.
That's awesome.
Totally makes sense.
Long time coming. Smart move on Apple's part.
I don't get it. Yeah. It's okay. You guys gotta get me on board because this feels like Mac clones to me.
No, this is like Netflix. If you want people to see your content, you have to be everywhere.
But this isn't.
That's what it's.
But this
about.
Isn't. None of this is Apple's content. This is all everybody else's content.
But it will be Apple's.
It
content.
It will be Apple's content.
Yeah.
This is how you're going to access.
This fall, it's going to be Apple's content.
Yeah. This is the conduit into all of Apple's original content.
Yeah, but it's also like here's the reason you get an Apple TV. You get this good UI, right? You get the good UI to find and aggregate all of your stuff into one place, and so you don't have to bounce around.
Correct.
So why would you buy an Apple TV?
Because you don't have one of the TVs
the best
that has
experience.
This built in.
Yeah.
Because the best experience. People don't understand that.
Also, because you want Apple's gaming platform on your TV.
Yeah, there's that, I guess. I see this being weird in the future, but we'll have to see. Okay, so then...
I don't see it as any weirder as having Apple Music on Android or, you know, iTunes on Windows.
Yeah, this is different than... putting an operating system on competing platforms because this is about selling content.
I suppose. And to be fair,
Apple wants to sell more subscriptions. I mean, this is like if services are the future for right now, which presumably they are. I mean, this is how Apple's going to make transitive revenue between iPhone and whatever is next. They need as many people subscribing to these services as humanly possible. And they're it's just a reality of life that there are certain consumers that will never buy an Apple TV.
Yeah. Well, and to be fair, I can totally see people being like, oh yeah, I heard about that cool show on, you know, Apple service. They get the, you know, the Apple TV app and strictly just to see a show. And then
correct.
Maybe they realize like, oh, I can see everything else through this too.
Right.
But then what? I don't
see. And then
the
next time when their Roku breaks, they go, maybe I should get an Apple TV because I'm using the Apple TV app most of the time.
I suppose.
Because I'm using the channels in there and I'm just accessing everything through the one app.
We haven't seen like how the new TV app is going to look on a Roku.
Right.
Also, I just want to say I watched an interview with the CEO of Roku the other day. Seems like the chillest, like most down to earth CEO that I've ever heard speak. He's just like, yeah, we just want to make really good like TV products, you know? I just, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. This guy's great. So go Roku. I've never been a big fan of Roku. The devices are kind of glitchy, and I mean, they're cheap, they're inexpensive. And so it's, you can't really have a lot of horsepower to make a good UI.
I mean, don't discount the Halo effect too.
It is very Halo-y. We'll see how that works, but the Halo thing has to be very well thought out. So anyway,
not like the iTunes app.
Yeah.
Well, the iTunes app.
iTunes app on Windows is one of the best selling tools for sticking with Windows.
Yeah, true.
I've heard the opposite with the Apple Music Android from some people. You know, they get the Apple Music experience on Android and they like it enough that they go, oh, actually, this is kind of a nice user experience. I wonder what else Apple has to offer.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If you're one of the people on Android who use Apple Music, you're one of the unicorns who do that, and you don't use Spotify and you like Apple Music, you're definitely going to get an iPhone because you're crazy. But they also had Apple TV Plus. They announced their Apple TV Plus with a lot of weird, like, silhouettes and stuff. But okay,
well, that's so, where it got really weird. Like the mixing of the Hollywood culture and the Apple culture, like at that keynote.
Okay, yeah. So
like,
that
it was weird. It was just like those celebrities were like, they just look like deer in headlights when they're most of them when they're out there. The only one who seemed like he was comfortable up there was, and maybe it's because he's a stand-up comedian, was, and I always mutilate the guy's name.
Kumail Nanjiani. Yeah.
Yeah. Kumail Nanjiani. Yeah. He was amazing.
Yeah. Like, Kumail's great.
He made me actually want to watch his show. Like, yeah. I wasn't that excited about his show. And I was like, oh, that's great. Steven Spielberg kind of did okay.
Spielberg did well.
Like, Jason Momoa was just like so bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But I don't want to focus on that because, yeah, it was a little odd. That part was strange.
And the transitions, like, it was just killing the flow. It was the developer demo equivalent. And I was so excited they didn't do developer demos. Like when they did the gaming thing, they had a great concise video that was like, had the developers on there. They didn't do these long drawn out developer demos. And the only weird thing about the TV show stuff was why the hell didn't they let them show clips?
They showed a little bit of clips, but yeah, it was strange.
No,
they had a video with snippets. Okay, I agree.
It was horrible.
So for some reason, if
you're showing off a show, you say, here's this cool new show and here's a clip.
I agree. It was strange. Here's the thing though. I don't know what it was, but I wasn't like a lot of people who were watching this event, like trying to finish and kept getting interrupted. Like I was fine watching this.
Me too.
It was a little bit awkward. But it didn't really affect me. What I saw, especially when we saw, the video that started with Spielberg, introducing the service.
That was a great video.
I liked that video.
That video that was really awesome. Good. And watching this and combined with the idea of Apple transitioning into providing a lot more services, it really, you know, I had this kind of realization that it's clear, from all this stuff that Apple is just as creative as it has been. It's just been kind of confounded by the lack of problems to be solved in hardware, right? They haven't had these big problems to solve. Like obviously the iPhone, they solved a huge problem that everybody was having. However, now that they've been like unleashed on services, it seems as though their creative juices are now flowing effectively. And this, I could very easily see all these different services, including the Apple TV Plus stuff, kind of, you know, ushering the next great period in Apple innovation. They just need to, I mean, the weird thing about this whole event is that nothing except for Apple News Plus, which is arguably the stinker of the crowd, nothing is available. Like it's all going to, it's summer, fall. Right. So it was an
announcement to announce more announcements.
Yeah.
Later.
That was the weirdest thing about all of this, but I think it was because they had just recently collected themselves enough and they're super excited about where they're going. I think there's just a lot of excitement within Apple and they wanted to get this out.
I think it's also...
And with the TV shows, they needed to get it out.
Yeah. Well, because it's already out there. The thing is like these things have to get produced. There's people working. So like keeping wraps on what they're doing is impossible. So what's the point?
Yeah. So
like just acknowledging, here's the thing. Here's who's starring and stuff. Here's what we're doing. Like it would have been, you know, 9 months of just leaks otherwise. And they would have get to an announcement in the fall and everybody would be like, yeah, we know.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that their plan is between now and this fall when the shows roll out.
Marketing. Which,
yeah. They start marketing the shows. They've told us about them. We got the tiny little clips, which I think was on purpose and not because they just didn't have any footage to show. And over
a lot of these shows are wrapped. Like they're in, they're like in post-production, like deep into post-production. I think there's a few that are finished.
Right. So, yeah. So now they start the marketing campaigns for the individual shows, build everything up for the fall launch. And that fits with the timing I was expecting out of this anyhow.
Yeah. I didn't like hearing that it was a paid subscription service, another paid subscription service. And again, we don't know what they're going to charge for it.
Yeah, I think we were kind of
shocked if the rumors about it being free because you own Apple Gear had been right. I don't think they have enough to me.
Here's the thing. Like, even for me, I'm excited about a handful of these shows. I don't know what I would pay for this. Like, I don't know if I'd pay $10 a month for this.
Yeah, that's
in light of Disney launching a service that I know I'm going to want. And I already know I want HBO, and I already know I want probably to continue Hulu.
Maybe Apple will have a package price.
I don't know, man.
You mean for other services? I think they're still trying to figure that out.
I mean, they're going to launch, if they're lucky, they launch with 24, maybe 30 shows.
Yeah, and you'll want to watch like an eighth of them.
And you've got Netflix that has what, hundreds, if not thousands, they don't even know at this point, and Amazon and Hulu. And then again, I think Apple's biggest problem for this service is Disney.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, the big thing that Apple has going for it right now is that they have so much money, because they can throw a lot of money at these shows. And
but
it looks
not.
Like they, no, they're not.
No, they spent $1 billion this year.
Yeah,
Amazon spends like 10 or 12, something like that.
Look what Amazon spent when they started.
And I meant
original
Netflix.
Content.
Oh, yeah. No, I get it.
And look what Netflix, yeah. So Apple's starting at the same place that they did. They're just starting later. And
that's my argument for having it be free and then making up the revenue in other areas, either selling Apple TVs. I don't know if they're charging Roku royalties for the app. I would have to imagine that they are. Like Apple's got to be getting some money for having the app on smart TVs and in other platforms. And as Michael pointed out, they have a crud ton of money right now to spend. I just felt like they could afford to take the loss to get consumers to the platform, to the
maybe
service.
They will.
Yeah, I think it would be worth it to them, honestly, to do that. It really would.
Yeah, I don't know. But again, I started pricing everything out. To your point, Jeff, like I think they need a package deal like an Amazon Prime, because if I get family Apple Music at $15, if I get the news service at $10, if I get the game service at $10, I've already paid $10 for my iCloud storage. I get the new video thing at $10. I'm at like
Apple channels are, at least $10 per channel.
And I get HBO and Hulu at $10. That's 70. I'm at $70 a month now that I'm spending.
Yeah, and you might as well go back to regular cable subscription.
Well, it's still a lot less than a regular cable subscription, right? I did have to remind myself that, but it's sort of like becomes like, those aren't the only things that I subscribe to too. Like I subscribe to some apps, I subscribe to like, subscription overload is something we've been talking about for a really, really long time. And this certainly doesn't help that at all.
No it does not.
Like it only confounds that. And again, like I know I'm going to want the Disney thing because that's Marvel and Star Wars? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. What nerd in our community is not going to go after that? Because that stuff's not going to be on Netflix anymore. It's not going to be on Hulu anymore. It's not going to be on all those other places that it was.
Yeah, that's it. This is where you have to go to get it.
It's not going
to
happen overnight. I know they have some contract deals, but I can almost guarantee you Disney's not going to renew some of those contracts when they come due.
There's no value in that for them because they can take the shows and just bring them in-house.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a rough play for Apple. So I was a little surprised to hear that it was a paid subscription service. I'm going to be very curious to see what price point they offer it at. I have a feeling it's $10. I think that's the stock services price point for Apple, just like they did with apps starting at 99 cents. Apple likes to standardize on an amount. And I'm going to guess it's 10 per is the new. But I'd really like to see them do a package deal where it's like, you know, you just get everything for $40 a month or $50 a month or whatever that price point is, including iCloud storage and services at a reasonable level.
Yeah.
There's a whole other debate on what that is. I pay $10 a month for the 2 terabytes, and I think that's great for my family. I mean, that works perfectly. We have plenty of storage for syncing photos and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another $9.99 subscription, so it fits in that model for Apple.
But what about Oprah?
Oprah, woohoo!
That was interesting. I don't know what's going to come out of that, but people were, I was about to say people were excited about it. They just load that place with a bunch of Apple people that clap at things. The people in the press don't clap.
Of course, you have Cedars in the audience.
Yeah. No, I think it's mostly that.
There was a bunch of Hollywood people. Did you notice there were a bunch of Hollywood people in the audience that didn't have shows, that didn't get brought up on stage?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, as far as like the shows go, though, there were a couple that definitely were interesting to me. So like the morning show looks great.
They all look great. I mean, the Jason Momoa thing, as awkward as the presentation of it was.
C looks really cool.
The concept behind it sounds awesome.
For All Mankind seems pretty cool. I think that's a show about what if the space race never happened. Obviously, that's like porn.
I think it's if the Russians had won the space race.
No, I don't think so.
Right? Isn't it?
No, that's different.
Well, let's see. Mm.
Let's look
All
it up.
All Mankind TV show.
It's a space drama that explores what might have happened in the world if the global space race had never ended.
Oh, had never ended.
Yeah. Had never ended. There we go.
Interesting. Cool. No, I am super excited about all their content. I'm super excited about Amazing Stories because I loved that show as a kid. I thought it was great.
The Spielberg thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Little America show looks awesome. Like, I have no doubt that these are all quality shows and they're probably all going to be good. And maybe that's the difference. I mean, I think that's how Apple is trying to differentiate their service and focus on quality content rather than quantity. Cause I mean, to be honest, as you know, I mentioned Netflix earlier. Yeah. They have hundreds of shows. Most of them are garbage.
Yeah.
Like throwaway.
Oh yeah.
So, I mean, at the end, probably quality-wise, Apple's going to have the same as any other service. The question is going to be, can you market that? Like, it's going to come down to the marketing. Will people recognize that, or will they just go, no, I just want quantity because I want quantity? And historically, that's when you talk about cable services, that's been the strategy, right? 300 channels, nothing to watch. But that seems to be what people would go for.
It would help Apple
change that.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think what would help to make that a reality is if the show quality is good enough that Apple starts winning awards.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think they will.
Well, and even more so, though, it's going to be the buzz at the water cooler. More than anything else.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so interesting stuff. I'm looking forward to it. It's in the fall, right? Coming out in the fall?
Coming out in the fall.
All right.
Supposedly, yep.
So let's breeze through this other stuff because I got to go soon. I think we all got to go. We got plans. We got things. We're busy people.
It's Sunday, man.
It's Sunday. Got to enjoy the
busy
day.
Busy people.
Yeah, so we're see, I'm like, let's go, and I don't know what I'm going to talk about. Oh, yeah, Apple released iOS 12.2, which includes Apple News Plus service.
And they broke everybody's email. Well, actually, everybody who has G Suite.
It was actually Google that broke it, but they fixed it.
Okay, yeah, good.
It's fixed now, but that was really annoying for a week.
Yeah, AirPlay 2 and HomeKit support for the third-party TVs. You get the you can tell Siri to do stuff for you on your TV from your iOS device, which I don't understand why you want to do that, but okay.
Since you don't have to hold the stupid little remote up to your mouth,
I guess. I'll keep trying it. I'll get to it. So you can just be Ola Siri, do this, and she'll be like, okay, cool. Improved wallet UI, which is nice, and the Safari search arrows, which if you haven't figured out what those do, I didn't know what they did until I tried them. Turns out, so if you're searching for something in Safari, you're typing and it gives you the search suggestions, and if you see a suggestion in the bottom that is it is like along the lines of what you want to type, but you want to add more, you just hit the little arrow and it pops it up there, and then you can keep typing. So that's nice. Then they also released tvOS 12.2 for the fourth generation Apple TV, which adds the support for the Siri thing. You got your tvOS 12.3 beta, which we talked about. So that's public. So just go in your settings, system software updates.
Now, how glitchy is it? When you say it's glitchy, what do you mean? Is it like crashing?
No, I haven't had it crash, but I also just played with it for like 10 minutes last night.
It's not smooth.
It's not smooth. Okay. The new UI looks incredible. The new UI is really cool. I really like it. It takes a little bit to get used to. And I'm not a super big fan of it. It looks like the 4U is mixing stuff in the iTunes store with stuff that you have available to you, which I am not a big fan of. I don't like that. That's not good. But yeah, so you get the new TV app. That's really the biggest thing. And then the last story I just wanted to throw out there. Did you guys see the prototype development board for the original iPhone?
Yeah. It looks like an old
ATX motherboard. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's really cool. It's really, really cool. So they basically have an iPhone screen kind of taped to a big red motherboard with like a bunch of video outs, and there's like a camera on there somewhere randomly placed. There's like a SIM card spot, like, but it's a giant development board. It's just so cool.
I did a double take when I first saw it because I thought it had a new bus slot on it.
I don't even know what that is.
See, that's Adam gets it.
What is new bus?
It was Apple's expansion slot for like add-on cards in old classic Macs, like the Mac 2FX and stuff. Before we had PCI slots.
Gotcha. Yeah, so this was...
Was it an Apple proprietary slot, Jeff? I don't remember.
I don't remember, but I'm assuming it was, because at that point, it felt like everything was Apple proprietary. Uh-huh.
Yeah, kids think they have it bad now.
Yeah, I remember having to buy a video adapter to plug into the video port on every Mac I owned so that I could use a display.
It's just
how it was. And then if you had the VGA adapters, you had to set the dip switches on it so it would work for your particular Mac. Good times.
Yeah, it was developed by MIT and then... Texas Instruments and Apple used it, but I don't think anybody outside Apple used it. I don't know if it was Apple proprietary, but I think Apple was the only company to use it.
Let's go with Apple exclusive.
Yeah.
Anyway, so check that out. It's a great read on The Verge. With that, Jeff, what's your pick?
Oh, my pick is CardHop for iOS. And so CardHop, it's an app that started life on the Mac, and it's more than an alternative tool for accessing your contacts. It gives you a whole new way to interact with them. You can type like plain English stuff into the little menu bar thing on your Mac, and email Michael, whatever, and then it figures out what you want to do and grabs the right email address, all that stuff. And they brought it to iOS, and I think it's just so much better for interacting with my contacts than using Apple's own contacts app. And and then there's a thing in there where on iOS you can set up a contact card that you just hold it up, and then someone can scan the QR code that it makes and send your contact info right over to them, which means that it works cross-platform. Huh. And it's like $4. I'm not doing it justice. The CardHop is...
It's like a replacement for your phone app, but it's better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's your central, it's like a nexus for contact, a nexus for communication.
Whoa, it looks like there's this
and
quick
tell
ad.
It what you want to do, and then it grabs the right app and makes it happen for you.
There's this like quick add syntax stuff that you can do.
Yeah.
It looks really cool. I'm tempted. I like to go... like as OG original, like first party stuff as possible, but I might have to do this.
I switched to using CardHop on my Mac, like when it came out. And that's the only way I interact with contact data now. So when it came out for iOS, I didn't even bother looking at the screenshots or anything. When I got the email that said, hey, this is out, I just picked up my phone, bought it, put it on my home screen, which is a coveted place for apps on my phone, and haven't looked back.
Nice.
It was totally worth the $4 for me. It's by the same people that do Fantastical.
Yeah, nice. All right, Adam, what's your pick?
I'm going to pick something that I had been waiting for to come out on iOS like for forever, and apparently it came out a long time ago and somehow I just missed it. But there's this indie game, and I think I saw it in a documentary at one point about indie game development, but an indie game called Fez, and it's this really cool, it's kind of hard to describe, like 2D but 3D side scroller thing. So the idea is that you're running this little Fez guy around, you've got like little, it's kind of like almost like RGP style game, but with a side scrolling element where you're trying to just like go through the environment and solve little, I don't know if puzzles is the right way to put it. Again, it's really pretty hard to describe, but it is just this cool little effect where the 2D worlds kind of rotate around and flip around and become these 3D environments. And I haven't been able to play it too much because I just figured out that it had come out like this past week. But just, it's a visually stunning, cool little indie game. And again, people who maybe heard about it on other platforms, there is a pocket edition now available, and it plays really nice. It does have to use a little on-screen kind of side scrolling, you know, up down icons, but it seems to work pretty well. And I'm just a sucker for indie games with like really cool art and concepts. And so I'm enjoying playing it. And
so it's Fez Pocket Edition?
Fez Pocket Edition. And I want to say, you know, there's no in-app purchase, none of that stuff.
It's $4.99.
Yep. $5 game. So this would be like a perfect game for like Apple's new platform. This would be the kind of game that would come out on Apple Arcade or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Cool.
So Fez Pocket Edition.
Nice. So my pick this week, I've probably picked it before, but it's a show on a subscription service. It is Star Trek Discovery. Have you guys been watching Discovery?
I've watched season one. Here's what I'm doing for season two. I'm waiting until we're down to the last couple episodes.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to sign up for CBS All Access for a month, binge the series, and then cancel my subscription.
All right, so I'll tell you
how. I won't pay for another subscription service just for Star Trek. Sorry.
So
I think we're close to me being able to sign up for a month. And
no.
There's a case of where it would go bad for Apple. Like, the only thing that I think that I know people subscribe to CBS All Access for is Discovery. And almost everybody I've talked to says I buy it to binge and then I cancel it.
Nice. Yeah, that wouldn't be great. Well, okay, so here's what I do, guys. Check this one out. You guys have Netflix, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You probably have ExpressVPN.
Yes.
Let's just say that if you live in the UK, it's on Netflix.
That's true.
Yeah. So someone could watch it that way. But Discovery Season 2 is... It's really good right now.
Yeah, I've heard good things.
It started weird. It started kind of shakily, but it's coming together, and it's kind of becoming, you know, sort of like a Marvel kind of situation in a way, but it's still really good.
The only complaint I've heard is that it doesn't, and actually all the new Star Trek stuff has not really been following suit, including a lot of the movies, that there's not a lot of the original Roddenberry visions left in these shows.
Yeah.
Which is a little disappointing.
Yeah.
But it's generally not what audiences want either, so.
Right. Yeah. No, this is definitely... It's definitely become more of the popular, what people are looking for, but it's good.
Right.
It's very interesting. Okay. So yeah, Star Trek Discovery, that's my pick. Star Trek the season two. And with that I'm
looking forward to watching it.
Yes. You can find all the picks and show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show on iTunes, leave some stars, tell a friend, send your feedback to feedback@theiosshow.com. Our sponsor this week was Simply Safe at simplysafe.com/Tyos. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen's at the Maccast, maccast.com, and at Maccast on Twitter. Thanks for being here, Adam.
Hey, thanks.
And thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Jeff Gamet, he's at Smile Software, and he's at Jay Gamet on Twitter. Thank you for being here, Jeff.
It's always awesome. I have so much fun with you guys.
Yeah, likewise. And I'm at Michael Johnson on Twitter. With that, we'll see you next time on The iOS Show.
An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. And an internet communicator. How are we going to communicate this? A stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. Who wants a stylus? You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck, 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 yuck. No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. Yuck, 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 no. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. No, 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 no. You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. We're going to use the best pointing device in the world. We're going to use a pointing device that we're all born with. We're born with 10 of them. We're going to use our fingers. Our fingers.
fingers.
Yuck. It's our fingers. Yuck. Communicator. An iPod. A phone. Are you getting it? An iPod. A phone. An iPod. A phone. An internet communicator.